in the Radhi Shazir. Water sleeps. She didn't catch that, but did not need to become more frightened. It's a saying of my people. Even water sleeps. But enemy never rests. Sari was asleep when I reached the temple of Gangesha. Just enough light leaked into her room to show that she was there. I floated for a while, enjoying being near her. I didn't disturb her. She needed her sleep. Me, I was immune to that stuff. Why was there any light at all? The priests had placed a pair of lanterns outside Sara's cell. Events the other night must have troubled them. I had to be getting stronger reaching out of the ghost world. Was it a good idea to try? Did I want people all over the place knowing something was going on? It wouldn't hurt to have them scared. Oh no. But on the other hand, they would take steps to mask all their deviltry. I did a tour of the temple, seeking evidence of obvious attitude changes by the priests. I found nothing unusual, although the acolytes handling nighttime ceremonies were abnormally nervous. I went back to hover over my honey. Damn, she was beautiful. Damn. It was going to be harder and harder not to mention my disappointment to Uncle Doge and Mother Goda. Hell, we might be getting to a time when raising questions would be appropriate. They were a long way from home. They had nowhere to run. Sari opened her eyes. My anger melted away. Half a moment later, she looked almost directly at me and smiled her wonderful smile. Fish and rice must be good for the teeth, because she had the whitest, most perfect teeth I ever saw.
Are you here, Mur? I feel you very close to me right now.
I'm here, I said into her ear, with none of the wickedness I had shown the Radisha. Sari probably didn't catch any words, but understood that she had gotten a response.
I miss you a lot, Mur. I don't feel like I'm one of my own people anymore.
Because they won't let you be. Granny Hong Trey didn't stay around to manage the results of her sibilant mutterings. Grandpa Kidam didn't make it clear that Hong Trey's pronouncements were forever. Of course, the present situation might be exactly what the old lady had had in mind. She never wrote anything down for me either. The best of the diviner breed are never wrong, because they never said anything in stone. The moment with Sari faded without my acquiescence. She looked troubled, as though she sensed me withdrawing. I wriggled but could not hold my position. Something back in the real world insisted on gaining my attention. As I drifted out of Sari's cell, several priests invited themselves in. One demanded, "Who are you talking to, woman?"
"Ghosts,"
my darling replied, showing her sweetest smile. Chapter 80. At first I thought it must have been just the flake of flint biting my ass that had brought me back. That bastard hurt. But as I shuffled it out from under me, I sensed movement against the starry background south of me. A voice inquired, "Are you awake now, Standard Bearer?" Sindawe, "No doubt about it." And I was having such a wonderful dream, too. "Since the old man wants you to keep an eye on us, I thought it would be useful if you saw what's happening." Unlike most Nar, Sindawe had a sense of humor. It included a major irreverence for authority, though he represented authority himself. He must have driven Mogaba to distraction back when they were best friends. Unless Mogaba started out the same way and grew out of it. A lot of sour old